Hello and welcome. I'm Alec Hogg. You've read the headlines on biznews.com, watched the interviews on BizNews TV, and caught up on the BizNews briefing and, of course, BizNews Radio. So now let's talk about the latest developments and what they mean for your money. This is the Editor's Desk, exclusive analysis for BizNews Premium members. Today is Monday, the 24th of November. Glad to have you with me. Well, I spent a very productive hour of my day this morning sitting in on a press conference with the top team. Well, I suppose top team you could call it. It's the CEO, the financial director, and the head of comms at Prosus stroke Naspers. And man, they are impressive. This was the numbers for the 6 months to end September. Now, you think of the size of that group. Here we are in November. So it's only taken them 7 weeks to put together the numbers. That's impressive on the first part. But the second part is the energy that you get from Fabrizio Bassio, who's the chief executive, the Brazilian, who started and built iFood, which is the star performer in the group. He was rewarded for his continued performance with the CEO role 18 months ago. And he had a little bit of a dig at the former head of Naspers, Bob van Dijk, who wasn't really popular amongst shareholders, and by saying at the end, no, he's not the kind of CEO. And I asked him, I had an opportunity to ask a few questions, and I asked him whether he could give us an illustration of practical consequences of his whole strategy of execution, execution, execution. And he said he's not the kind of CEO who sits in the office in Amsterdam and waits for the figures to come in. He says he's on a plane every week off to a different part of the very wide-flung empire that is Prosus today to go and see what's happening on the ground. And he says there is also a reflection of this interconnectivity within the group as a whole, where they would be meeting different parts of the group. For instance, he says iFood has got the best artificial intelligence operation at the moment. So other subsidiaries, operating subsidiaries in the company, pop along to Brazil to go and get insights there. Takealot's chief executive told him that the excellent performance that the company is delivering now, it's back, it's into profit, and that despite Amazon.com arriving in the South African market in the past year, he said to Fabrizio that the reason for the one of the main reasons that he gave for the performance was the learnings that are available from other companies in the group. Yeah, Koos Bekker has built something pretty special here. And you can imagine that the South African operation, being so small in a global context, would not be taking that much time or that much attention. That's not really the case. The chief executive told us that there is still good investment going on here in South Africa and that the South African operations are learning from each other as well. I suppose that would give you a indication that Naspers is already a giant in the media field. They're probably going to get bigger still with the relationship that they are able now to have together with Takealot. So Takealot and Media 24 and the foundry and the laboratories that they have here and the test tubes. It really is a important company in South Africa from that perspective, but from an investment perspective even more so. Between them, Naspers and Prosus make up 17.2% of the weighting of the Aussie 40, 16% of the weighting of the whole JSE index. And so the numbers that come out of this company and the performance of this company are critically important for shareholders. You're talking about, well, over an eighth of the total portfolio of anyone in South Africa, or the equity slice of the portfolio anyway, of any pension fund or investor, is tied up in this one business. Extraordinary, isn't it? It is a interesting development. We've got lots of information on Prosus on the BizNews website. Go along and read it. I also think if you've got a few extra minutes, go and read the PDF, which is embedded in the Prosus story. The other bit of investment news that's well worth picking up this morning comes out of Australia. Over the weekend, there were some concerns within the Anglo-American camp after BHP Billiton let it be known that they did not want the merger between Anglo-American and Teck to go ahead. They were renewing their interest, and they indeed did approach Anglo to say, hang on, we'll be a better partner than this $50 billion transaction that you're putting together. This morning, news came out of Australia that they have backed off and they've said that's it for them. They are now withdrawing from any potential takeover or involvement with Anglo-American, and they think that internally at BHP Billiton they've got the right assets. So go off into the sunset, Duncan Oneblood and your new partners in Canada. We at BHP Australia, not interested anymore. And that is the end of that story, which I'm sure will be giving Oneblood and Co. A lot of solace, because there were quite a few analysts who felt that you cannot make this into a confirmed deal until there's news from BHP Billiton. And so there was a bit of a flurry over the weekend when BHP said it was now approaching the Anglo board, and actually it would be looking to renew its interest. But that's all over now. So it's over. Isn't that interesting? On investments, we are going to have our monthly webinar tomorrow, and I would urge you to come along to that if you've got the chance. And the reason, remember, first of all, this is a monthly get-together with me where we have a look at our shift portfolio, which is the one that was started 4 years ago, and our Ricardo portfolios, where we've got a monthly contribution. And in both of them, it's real money. It's not just a notional kind of investment. So what we invest, you can see the actual costs and everything else that go with it. And on the Ricardo portfolio, I'm actually terribly excited. And the reason for that is that we've seen some pullbacks in one of my favorite stocks, not surprisingly, Palantir. It's come back from over $200 a share to $150 a share. Now, many people who are not hard-boiled investors would look at that and say, no, but you should be upset because you could have got 25% more had you sold the shares a little while ago. Now, there are two things that I need to point out to you. The one is that you must never try and trade. We saw that from Magnus Haystack in the conversation he and Pitt were having over the Million Rand Challenge, where he said he sold out of shares at a particular time. And when he rubbed his eyes, he saw the market had gone against him by another 10%. He didn't rub his eyes. He said he had a cup of tea and it had gone against him by 10%. So that is the problem that one has. Markets are terribly unpredictable and very turbulent. And when you think you know, it's the time that you really don't know. So in investing, the idea has to be you put your money in on a consistent, on a regular basis, and you ride through the bumps this way and that. And the second point is that it is now a very appealing proposition for our Ricardo portfolio. You might recall I said I was a bit worried about NVIDIA and about Palantir, about the share price levels over the last 2 months when we bought into those companies. There's nothing to worry about on the performance of those companies, but the shares did seem to be overpriced somewhat. Now we're going to buy our next tranche of Palantir's at 25% less, or 75% of the cost that we paid for the first two. Isn't that nice? And that's the way to look at it. I remember Piet Viljoen once saying that with investing, he can't understand the approach of most individual investors. Because if you were going along to a hamburger joint and they had two hamburgers for one, for the price of one, the chances are you'd take a friend and you'd buy two. But when it comes to shares, if you get the shares at half price or they offered at half price, you panic and think, oh my goodness, there must be something wrong here. In fact, if you have done your research into the company, you've done your homework, that's the time you should be buying more. So we are stocking up tomorrow on the Ricardo portfolios, and really nice to see that we can buy more shares for our monthly contribution. We'll take you through the latest update on the companies there. A little bit of inside stories here. You might recall that I've been at the World Economic Forum I missed one, so I've been there 19 times in the last two decades. It's always been the written in concrete in my calendar, and despite the enormous cost, and it really is, to fly to Switzerland, the cost that you have for accommodation. I was very lucky in that I met the editor of the Davoser Zeitung, and I used to, in recent times anyway, hire a room in her apartment, and that made it kind of half palatable. But the profiteering that goes on there is off the charts extreme. And next year, that's January 2026, I won't be going. I'm sure there's a lot of people in the tribe who are saying, yippee, at last, he's seen the light. Well, that isn't the case. Since the departure of Klaus Schwab, the founder of the WEF, they've now become, I've been told, a lot more selective on who they're inviting, and I'm not one of them. So I won't be attending the World Economic Forum in January, but I'm sure there are other events that would be worthwhile for the tribe to have somebody on the ground there. But I'm afraid the WEF, the World Economic Forum, ain't going to be one of them. I'll leave it there. And thank you for joining me again, as always. Keep an eye out on your premium newsletter for links to our freshest published content. And thank you for trusting us with your time. I'm Alec Hogg. Until tomorrow, cheerio.